another big week in the NFL for the Buffalo Bills. This is the Bills Wire Podcast, powered by USA Today Sports. Now, here's your host, Ryan O'Leary, and Bills Wire editor, Nick Wotan.
Week one of the NFL season is literally a week away. I can hardly believe it at this point. I'm Ryan O'Leary, host of this brand new podcast powered by the USA Today Network. Nick Wotan, the managing editor of the Bills Wire website, will be joining me each week, bringing the knowledge on all things Buffalo Bills. Nick, I'm excited to kick this thing off with you, my man.
Yeah, exciting to finally get some football. Can't believe it's finally back. It took forever, seemingly. And like we said, the weird is now the new normal for us. And hopefully the new normal will include 16, 17 weeks of football and playoff football. And I'll knock on wood that everything goes normal because we need it.
So we'll be talking a little bit of fantasy football. There'll be a segment by Corey Bonini of The Huddle coming. There's also a sports betting segment by our guys over at The Sports Wire coming. But first, Nick, the Bills seem to be going for it this season. They added Stephon Diggs at wide receiver. Josh Allen's another year older. The coaching staff has been in place. McDermott, Brian Daboll. The defense, I think, could be one of the best in the league, right? What's your take on where this team is at entering week one?
Yeah, it's going to be certainly interesting going into this season. The Bills have so much, really the big trigger word this offseason is continuity. The Bills have a lot of continuity really all over their roster. Offense, defense are the two important things. Really, the only place they don't have continuity is special teams. They're kind of trying to revamp that side of the ball, and they got a new rookie kicker, but that's not the sexy thing we're here to talk about. We're talking about Stephon Diggs. Hopefully he can get on the same page with Josh Allen, because that's really the one thing that the Bills were looking at missing in this offense. You know, you got Josh Allen slowly but surely, a little bit of a surprising dual threat guy. And hats off to John Brown and Cole Beasley and what they did last season for the Bills. Two wide receivers the team has sorely lacked for years and years, it seems. But, you know, there's only a few guys like Stephon Diggs. And as you mentioned, if Stephon Diggs can at least close the gap a little bit for the Bills in regards to their defense being a top three defense, their offense hasn't even been a top 20 unit since Sean McDermott took over. But, I mean, if they start pushing even in top 15, I mean, this could be a scary team.
Yeah, it could. And I was just going to say, people can do the kickers on their own time, right? We're not going to spend too much time on the kickers.
I didn't even mention his name, so I figured.
Yeah, Diggs is definitely a guy I wanted to talk about. I mean, how do you think he fits with Allen's skill set? I mean, I know Allen, he's got a cannon, but sometimes maybe the accuracy piece is a little out there, right? I mean, sometimes he's got guys wide open and he's throwing BBs right over their head. How do you think he fits with Allen?
I think the good thing about Diggs is everyone makes a very big deal, for lack of a better term, about Josh Allen's big arm. And that certainly is somewhere that he needs to improve. But Diggs is very well. He's very well-rounded receiver. He can run the full route tree pretty much. And even though Allen was pretty brutal, we'll put it frankly, at deep passing last year, if he gets a little bit better there and just remains the same in his intermediate area passing, he was great there. He was probably among the league's best, even between 10 and, you know, maybe 15 yard area there. You got Cole Beasley, one of the best slot receivers. So he was great short. Sometimes early last year, he would, you know, he's got that strong arm and he would whip a ball 5 yards to the running back, and maybe he needs to take a little bit off of those, but that's the easier thing to fix than the deep ball. Of course, Stephon Diggs can make those contested catches, and that's what the Bills are thinking, but really the underlying factor here, I think, with Stephon Diggs is that he can run a full route tree, and Allen is very good in these intermediate passing areas. If the Bills can just get a little bit more uptick in that passing game between Allen's legs by himself, Devin Singletary, young running back last year, started to take over more and more duties from Frank Gore last year, adding Zach Moss into that. The Bills could start to finally have a bit of a more well-rounded offense to go with this stout defense that they've had for years.
So I read about this piece on your site, the Bills Wire website. The former Bill, Stephon Gilmore, I'm sure everyone in Buffalo loves Stephon these days. Gilmore poking fun at the team on social media. I think he was talking about how he now knows all of Diggs's routes since they posted something on social. And you kind of had some fun with that on the Bills Wire. You just talk a little bit about Gilmore giving his former team some crap.
That was so the big thing going around the league right now is because of COVID, fans aren't, the Bills get a very big following at their training camp. They actually, their training camp is held in, at St. John Fisher College. It's out in Rochester. The Bills kind of have a whole encompassing of Western New York and upstate New York area. So they're one of a few teams that still go away for training camp. During that time, reporters are allowed to report on the depth chart, anything they want, because, you know, the team's not going into the crowd of fans and stopping them from reporting on it. Now, because it's behind closed doors, it's been a kind of a talked about thing in Western New York, how the Bills, among other teams in the NFL, even maybe more so than other teams in the NFL, are really cracking down on what guys can report on. Reporters can report on out of training camp. So they can't say anything about the depth chart. They can't say any little minute details. And it's kind of a thing with Sean McDermott as head coach. He's a total football guy in the sense of you can't give him an inch, you can't give him anything. Mm-hmm. Well, I kind of decided to have some fun with Stephon Gilmore also having some fun because, as you mentioned, a local reporter here, I think the CBS affiliation in Buffalo, tweeted out just a coach was in a coverage on Stephon Diggs, and I think he maybe ran a corner post or something like that. And then Stephon Gilmore, the former Bills first round pick, so you know he's loved around here. The former first round pick goes to the division rival, wins Super Bowl.
They love him. You know, my brother in law. Yeah, my brother in law is a diehard Bills fan. I'm sure he loves Gilmore, loves Tom Brady. You know, all those.
Exactly, loves all those guys. So when Gilmore went out there and he said, "Oh, hey, look, I know your route tree now," I had to have a laugh with that. I had to have some people come and see that. But you know, I mean, but that is why, you know, anyone who's unfamiliar with reporting at a training camp and stuff like that, those are normal things. You're allowed to videotape Stephon Diggs going against a coach in a regular drill. You're not going to get much intel from that, even if Gilmore's joking around. But once the 11-on-11s and stuff come out, you know, everyone puts their cameras down. Even fans, you know, when they're there, reporters still put their cameras down and stuff like that. Yes, Stephon Gilmore trying to get the intel. And he might need all the intel he can get this year. I know you're not here to talk to me about Cam Newton, but he might need all the intel. Get all the help we can get.
We might bring up the Patriots later. Who knows? So one guy, you mentioned him earlier, Nick. You know, maybe from a fantasy football perspective, I know drafts are going on right now. You know, Devin Singletary, a kid who really showed some signs of being like a breakout back last year. What are you expecting from him, and specifically from a fantasy perspective, volume, catches, stuff like that?
I'm expecting definitely a good start from him through the season. The one thing the Bills have kind of stressed, and as I mentioned, kind of Sean McDermott, the head coach, and even the general manager, Brandon Bean, they kind of like to play that media chess or you know, maybe, you know, smoke, I guess they call it. But I think the one thing they're being very serious with us about is that they're going to ease their rookies into things. Devin Singletary, the second-year pro. Their other running back, as I mentioned before, Zach Moss. He's a rookie. No preseason games, no exhibition games under his belt. And same thing for even a guy like Gabriel Davis. I mean, we know Stephon Diggs, John Brown, Cole Beasley, but Gabriel Davis has had a big role in training camp so far as a wide receiver. Probably their fourth, albeit. But I think the Bills are really going to slowly work in their rookies this year. And I think Devin Singletary, especially early in the year, is definitely running back two territory for you because of that. I think they're going to, you know, that's kind of last season the Bills did have a preseason. That's kind of what they did with Singletary. Frank Gore, all of a sudden, you know, the Eagles wonder, the guy who, you know, Ryan will be talking and doing this podcast in 5 years talking about Frank Gore probably. So, but
100%.
They had Frank Gore coming out of the week one last year running all over teams, and it was incredible to see. But then finally, you started to see them easing Singletary into it. He only ended up playing 12 games last year, too. He had 775 rushing yards last year. And, you know, you see Josh Jacobs with the Raiders and a lot of other rookie backs last year getting a lot of hype in terms of fantasy. But I think that Devin Singletary, even with the addition of Zach Moss, especially early in the year, as I said, I think he's going to be, if he played a full 16 games last year, he's pushing 1,000 yards. He's higher up there. So he could be a guy that might fall a little bit in your draft if you're looking for running back two, a flex, and Singletary might be that guy.
More fantasy advice coming up right here. This is the Bills Wire Podcast.
Fantasy football is about proving that you are better than your friends.
Sit them, start them. These are the fantasy picks of the week.
It will kill me if this game ends in a tie.
I need this win. This game's pretty much done.
With Corey Bonini from thehuddle.com.
Corey Bonini with TheHuddle.com here to talk to you about fantasy football do's and don'ts entering the final drafting weekend of 2020. Players I really like. Kyler Murray, quarterback Arizona Cardinals. He's going in the sixth round on average as the fifth overall quarterback chosen. You can wait a little bit from the Lamar Jacksons and Patrick Mahomes of the world and still get very similar value. Running back Raheem Mostert had his contract squabble settled in the offseason, and he's ready to rock and roll in one of the best running back systems in football. Invest as an RB2 and consider him a steal if you get him as a third. Brandon Cooks is a well-traveled wide receiver who has shown he can produce immediately everywhere he goes. He heads to the Houston Texans to help replace DeAndre Hopkins as a group of wide receivers trying to come together, catching passes from the hand of Deshaun Watson. Another wide receiver I really like is Deontay Johnson of the Pittsburgh Steelers. The second-year receiver was able to make some noise as a rookie in 2019 with a hodgepodge of quarterbacks. Big Ben is back on the field, healthy, ready to go. Johnson's going to have a superb year. And tight end Rob Gronkowski. He doesn't come without risk, but he's healthy. He had the year off to get his body right, and he's the only player on this roster we can confidently say Tom Brady trusts explicitly. On the other side of the coin, Arizona Cardinals running back Kenyon Drake is going right around the end of the first round, early second round, and he's making fantasy owners invest a killing off of basically four or five games. There's just way too much risk involved there when you can find a safer player with as much upside a little bit later on. David Johnson is another running back now with the Houston Texans. It's been four seasons since we've seen anything special from him in fantasy football. Hey, the loss of Phillip Rivers at quarterback means Tyrod Taylor's the starter. I have zero confidence in his ability to consistently deliver a ball to Keenan Allen to keep him returning round five investment. For more fantasy football tips and advice, check out TheHuddle.com, part of the USA Today Sports Network.
The Buffalo Bills last won the AFC East in 1995. Whoa. Let's think about that. 1995, Bill Clinton was in the third year of his first term. Coach Sean McDermott was playing safety at William & Mary. Seinfeld and Friends were on their original run on NBC. Tom Brady was a freshman at Michigan. And Josh Allen, the Bills quarterback, he didn't exist. He wasn't born. He wasn't alive in 1995. That's how long ago it was for the Buffalo Bills to win the division. So as we work our way up the PFT preseason power rankings from 32-1, we're at number 9 in the top 10 for the first time in a very long time, the Buffalo Bills. They deserve their placement, Chris. I think you agree with me on that. The question is, can they take this potential that they have and turn it into a division title for the first time in 25 years?
All right, Nick, that was Mike Florio, Chris Sims on the Pro Football Talk live show. Bills, it does feel like they have an opportunity, right? Tom Brady's in Tampa. Dolphins are kind of rebuilding. Jets have 8-8 or worse written all over them at best. It kind of feels like a if not now, when type of situation for the Bills to take control of the AFC East.
Yeah, that's honestly a perfect way to put it. If not now, when? The stars are certainly aligning on defense. I mean, they had been for years. Credit to Sean McDermott. And man, that Josh Allen thing they said, I couldn't believe he wasn't born yet. that turned my head.
He didn't exist. I love the hyperbole there. He didn't exist, you know?
Yeah, I was like, whoa, all right. the stars have aligned for the Bills on defense since Sean McDermott walked the door. I mean, he took pretty much pieces we didn't really even know much about. I mean, you had the first ever draft pick under him, cornerback Tre'Davious White, is now finally garnering the national attention he's deserved, really, as a rookie. And then he took two guys. Micah Hyde was known during his time as with the Packers. Jordan Poyer, even less, was known about him. I think he was a seventh-round pick. Had, like, a lacerated spleen injury at one point. Looked like he might not play again. And then all of a sudden, these guys are now one of the top safety duos in the league. The Bills really have lived and died with that secondary, but then have since built. You know, you have Matt Milano coming in that same first draft, the linebacker. Tremaine Edmonds in 2018 was the other first-round pick with Josh Allen. But, again, this defense is great, but it's all going to come down to Josh Allen and how far he can take these guys. Year three, as long as I've done some math here and there, and Dawson Knox, the tight end, he had 10 drop passes last year, led tight ends. If you would have caught half of those, Josh Allen rounding up his completion percent would have actually been 60%, which is kind of like the cute number you like to see with a quarterback in 60% territory. So if Josh Allen just gets those numbers up a little bit or even just stays around where he is, I think the Bills have to be in a perfect position here to finally surplant the Patriots, at least for 1 year. I mean, we'll see what how things go with Cam Newton. But Tom Brady really, especially against the Bills last year, the Bills could have gotten it done in 2019. They dropped the ball against the Patriots. And then the Patriots went on to, if you remember, to lose to the Dolphins, I believe it was, late in the year.
Yeah,
the
Bills ended up. Yeah, I'm a New Hampshire guy.
The Bills would have beat the Patriots. They would have done this last year. But
I would think, Nick, like, If they lose to the Pats this year, if they let Belichick, Newton, and Gilmore win this year and win this division, that's an embarrassing thing for the Bills, isn't it? Like, that's just going to be – they're not going to live that down.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing is that the Bills and Patriots – maybe not good depending on how you're looking at it, but the Bills and Patriots, interestingly, they don't meet. The first 2 weeks of the season, Jets, Dolphins, and then they don't see the Patriots until week eight. So We're going to actually see while we're looking at this right now. And, you know, we're talking about the division. Can the Bills do it? And a lot of folks are saying it's a 2-horse race between the Bills and Patriots. I mean, by the time week eight comes, I kind of preface this with everything I write, you know, Bills Patriots related, where it's kind of like, this is the first time in 2 decades, thanks to the quarterback guy, that we're not even going to know what state the Patriots are going to be in come week eight, week nine, when they first meet, that these guys don't play till the second half of the season. So it's going to be, that's the one thing I'm, not that I'm overlooking the first 8 teams the Bills are playing or 7 teams the Bills are playing, but it's going to be very interesting to see what state the Patriots are in, what's going on there. I mean, it seemed like they have every team's former number one running back on their roster right now.
Yeah, Lamar Miller, all these guys, yeah. All right, I think I know where Nick is going with this, but coming up, we're going to talk Bills futures bets. I got a couple of futures bets I'm going to throw at him. We'll be right back.
It's that time again for the line of the week. The inside track to the favorites, the underdogs, and the over-unders.
I think I want my money back.
Now, here are Jeff Clark and Esten McLaren from USA Today's Sportsbook Wire.
Hello, I'm Esten McLaren of SportsbookWire.com and Bet Slippin' Podcast, and here's what you need to know about the season opener between the Houston Texans and Kansas City Chiefs. The Super Bowl 54 champs are favored by 9.5 points, with the over-under set at 54.5. Both numbers have already been bet down since they were first released, along with the 2020 NFL schedule in mid-May. The Texans beat the Chiefs 31-24 in a Week 6 meeting last season. 7 of the Chiefs' 12 wins in 2019 came by at least 10 points. While the Texans lost 3 games by at least 10 last season, one of those was in Week 17, with QB AJ McCarron under center. I like the Texans to cover and keep it within 9, tick the under as well on a number inflated by the hype of the season opener and a tantalizing quarterback matchup between Super Bowl MVP Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. Check out SportsbookWire.com for more with all odds from BetMGM Sportsbook. Subscribe to BetSlippin' Podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, Nick, in terms of the Bills futures bets, I live in New Hampshire where sports betting is legalized. It's linked in with the state lottery. So you pull up DraftKings on your cell phone and you can place your sports bet right on your phone. It's dangerous, but it's also a lot of fun. So my app has the best odds, I think, at the over-under at 9.5 regular season wins for the Bills. They were 10-6 last year, right? So I think I know where you're going with this, Nick, but what do you got? 9.5 regular season wins for the Bills, over or under?
Quick hit, I'm going to go over on that one. I think there's no reason why the Bills aren't going to get at least 4 wins out of the division this year, and that's not even including the Patriots in my head right now. So as long as they split with the Patriots, that's halfway there. I think easy over.
Yeah, I'm with you. If they go 9-7, that'd be a bust. And, you know, heads might roll over there in Buffalo. They got to be 9-7. I think they should be the best team in the division this year. Like we just talked about, can't let Belichick and Gilmore and Newton, win this year. That would just, you know, I'll tell you this. My brother-in-law would not hear the end of it if that is the case. That, you know, my diehard Bills fan brother-in-law. So
we're pulling for him.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Yeah, it's good for business if the Bills are good, right? It's good for the Bills Wire business.
Exactly.
Nick, I appreciate your insight, my man. Excited to talk Bills Jets. We'll get into that game next week. All right.
Perfect. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. This is the Bills Wire podcast.
This USA Today Sports Podcast has been presented by USA Today's Sports Media Group and is available in your favorite podcast store. Make sure to subscribe for weekly updates. the latest fantasy picks from Corey Bonini and the Huddle Podcast. Inside the Weekly Line with Sportsbook Wire's Jeff Clark and Esten McLaren, and the Bet Slippin' Podcast. We'll see you again next week.